This is Pearls in Swine on Good News You Can Use. And I'm Levi. To my right is Travis. And today we're going to be talking about words. And specifically words that are connected to us. And no one is maybe more influential in your life than you are, because no one talks to you more than you do. We never stop talking, really, to ourselves. The things you say about you, about God, and about the world around you profoundly impact how you respond to those things. Your words connect to the reality that is around you. And so those are happening all the time. It's estimated that you speak between 713 words a minute to yourself.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would have never guessed that.
It's a lot of words. Well, think about like your those words of like emotion, like feeling, all those things. It's continual. It's always on. It's very rarely that thing shuts off and you're just sitting there, and your brain can only focus on one thing at a time, and so it's words to whatever you're focused on in that moment. And so I was walking through a part of the church and I thought I was by myself, and the words were consuming me. I was having a riveting conversation with myself and didn't realize that my lips were moving, and somebody like walked by me and they said, "Who are you talking to?" And I was like, "Me. It's a pretty interesting conversation. You should join."
Nice. It's not one of those instances where you had an earbud in and you were on the phone.
It was not. No. It was not. No. No, I was just by myself having a good old conversation.
Yeah, and I think this is one of those kind of hotter topic issues too. You know, you think about like self-help and self-wellness and self-care. Self-speak is a big one. You know, yeah. Your words, we look at scripture and words have a unique power to them, the power to give life or to destroy it. You look at creation, God created with just words. Obviously, our words aren't the same as God's, but, you know, there's some power in those things.
Yeah, Solomon, wisest man ever, said in Proverbs 23, said, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he."
Mm.
And so that self-talk, I think, is what, you know, the psychologists, the kind of buzzword that's out there, it has been around forever, right? And so it's not, but it's not just an exercise. The self-talk, that if you're trying to control that in your mind and walk through that and influence yourself, it's not just like the power of positive thinking that is being kind of communicated out, but it's more than that. You know, the Bible is always talking about how we're shaping our hearts, shaping our thoughts. It actually in one place says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." It's not a call to affirmations. "That a boy, you got this," type of a thing, or a mirror to boost up your self-esteem. It's a call to be careful how you think, because your thoughts have consequences.
Mm-hmm. That makes me think of, you know, we were both former high school athletes back in the glory days. And like, if you got down on yourself and started thinking like you make a bad play or whatever, and you start dwelling in there and like, "Oh man, I messed up. I can't do this." Like the words that you speak to yourself, your actions are going to follow through.
Yeah. And so the Bible though, it's not just a positive reference to those things. It's really going, hey, you know, your hearts are deceptive. In Jeremiah, I think it's 17, maybe. It talks about your heart is deceitful and it's deceptive. And so it's not just like what you think in that sense of yourself, but it actually needs to be rooted in reality, rooted in truth. And that's what all through the Proverbs it's talking about. This talks about words or speech 150 times. So it's like one in every six verses that it talks about what we speak, not only to others, but also to ourselves.
Well, and we're called to use our words a certain way. I mean, the Bible talks a fair amount about that too, that our words can be life-giving, encouraging, edifying, all that stuff. And if we're to speak like that to one another, it makes sense that you've got to speak like that to yourself as well. And that kind of comes in line with like your relationship with God. you know, God is our creator, our heavenly father. And, you know, as parents, we don't want our kids telling the other siblings how much they suck and how horrible they are. And God doesn't want his kids to talk like that to each other either.
Right. Yeah. When it comes to, you know, what the Bible kind of says about this, Philippians talks about this also. You know, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And so the positive talk that discounts reality, it's not going to help us, but truthful self-talk is that what it means to keep, I think, your heart, that vigilance of your heart. But he implores us to think about these other things, because when there's a negative thing that's happening, there's also probably a positive thing that's around you. There are other things that, you know, maybe you don't have XYZ, or maybe you're not this person, but you are this. You know, there are positive things that are there. And it says, hey, you dwell on those things. Don't mm-hmm. worry about some of these other things that are over there.
Yeah. That's the same as like the sports mental psychology side of things. They walk you through some of that stuff, like you're supposed to visualize and tell yourself that, you know, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me, kind of a mentality for your physical side of things to perform well. That just reminds me that Jesus talked about that too, that out of the abundance the heart speaks. And that came out of, I believe, a sermon that he was, is it the Sermon on the Plain? Is that the one that they refer to?
On the Mount?
No, there's another opposite one of
Sermon on the Plain. Oh, maybe it is. I don't know.
But that's it's a heart issue, right? Our words come from the heart. It's an overflowing of what's on there. And if we're focusing on the negative things and the things that aren't going the way that we want to, you're going to live life a little bit that way, whether it's the Eeyore way or just viewing things as always negative. But when you flip the switch on that and you're like, what do I have? What are the good things about me that God put in me, the skills, the gifts, the talents, the abilities? And you start to see a perceptive switch in that.
Yeah, I think there is that part of it. I'm not usually walking around without some type of situational thing that's coming up. You know, there's this, you know, false guilt, or you ever have those moments where you make up the narrative?
Mm-hmm.
And so a while back, I reached out to a buddy of mine. I needed to share something with him, and it was a kind of a tricky wicket type of a situation. And I reached out to him. I called him, left him a voicemail the next day, and then I texted him. Well, I thought this tricky wicket thing in my mind, I started to make up what must have happened. Well, he must be mad about this. He must be upset about this. All of those things, you know, they're going through my mind, you know, and really instantaneous. Like, well, why is he thinking that way? And you almost started having this conversation with him, but he's not there.
Yeah.
You ever have those moments?
Yep.
So the end of that story, what happens is finally he calls me back, and now I'm, you know, I'm lawyered up. I'm prepared for anything. I've got the list of how I'm going to respond to this, because I've convinced myself in this moment, taken a lot of emotional time to figure out, because obviously he's mad at me because he didn't do it. And this is what he says. Hey, dude. Oh, man. Sorry. I didn't get back to you quicker. I was out in the woods. We rented this cabin, and my wife and I were sitting in the hot tub. Way too much information. I didn't need to know that. Just that you couldn't get a hold of me was plenty. But it had nothing to do with what I thought it had to do. And I think our minds do that naturally. And part of it is that narrative that we're always trying to build in our minds. And I think there's some things that you can do to kind of shape that. Your self-talk, that tape that is going off in your head constantly, is really a rudder to the ship of life. Mm-hmm. What you're going to do and what your actions, all of those things, what you believe about yourself, what you believe about God, what you believe about all of those things impacts your behavior.
Yeah. That's a good point. I'm been into podcasts lately.
All right.
And I listen to some good Christian ones. I listen to some hunting ones, and one of the hunting ones, this guy's actually a Christian guy, Bear Grease podcast with Clay Newcomb, and they just talk hunting and life and stuff. But he said something that I thought was really profound. And one of his quotes from that podcast I was listening to, he said, your life will follow the path of what you say. And I was like, oh, that hit me and it was super deep, but it's super true. Like if we start that narrative of, you know, so-and-so is mad at me, like we go down this agonizing path and we stress over all this stuff. And then you get the phone call back and it's like, dude, no, I was out of service. No big deal. But that can happen, you know, with our faith. You know, we mess up and we're the first ones to know when we're guilty of something. Obviously, God knows that too, but we start wrestling with that in our heart and trying to justify it. And we find ourselves in kind of that death spiral of negativity and the problems when it's like, no, you got to change that narrative in your head.
Yeah. Well, I think it's partially changing the narrative, but it's also not allowing our minds to jump to conclusions before getting actually the facts. I had no idea with my buddy, like what the facts actually were. I had no idea he was out of town, but of course he must be this, right? And, you know, emotions are always, their feelings are always valid. That may be what I was feeling. But it wasn't necessary. Feelings aren't necessarily true.
Right.
They were valid. I thought, oh, he's mad at me. This is what's going on. And I had an emotion toward that. But it wasn't. Feelings aren't always true in the sense of they're not factual. They're always valid that, yes, I was feeling that he was angry at me and I felt bad about that. But my interpretation of my feelings is not always to be trusted.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the fact of the emotion is true, but what is actually going on in the reality of life surrounding it is not necessarily.
Yeah, we can always trust that you have feelings, but you can't always trust your interpretation of them. And so what do you do in the midst of that? One is to seek a conversation with some wise counsel in that. One is to learn to not jump into things. Another one is the old-fashioned discipline your thinking.
Yeah.
Maintain, you know, as much as people in the church world will squawk sometimes about Joel Osteen, that dude is a happy critter. I think he's kind of mastered some of this, though. In this positive talk, in this knowing who he is in God, those types of things. And he's done a good job in that. And there's a passage of scripture that talks about you take captive every thought to make it obedient to God. And taking captive the thoughts, because our minds go quickly. Remember, you're talking 700 words in a minute to yourself.
Yeah.
They go really fast and they start to create things that are actually not there. I was in Celebrate Recovery. I've just started attending that is one of our programs here. And if you're not familiar with Celebrate Recovery, it's just a group of people that get together to talk about hang-ups, hurts, and
habits,
and then just walk toward recovery with Jesus. And so we're in this share time, and people were just kind of sharing where they're at, some of the things that were going on in their lives. And one of the beautiful things is I can't tell you any of those things because we're sworn to anonymity. But at the end of that, after people were sharing some of those habits and those hang-ups and those hurts, the leader of the group said, we have to take our thoughts captive in that. Those things, those habits and those hurts are coming from somewhere. How do you do that? What do you do to protect yourself? And I went in that moment, I'm like, that is just a brilliant question.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he was actually asking in that moment was, what are you preaching to your heart? And I think we have to preach to our heart.
Yeah.
And so I went on this kind of this quest of going, what am I preaching about God to my heart? Well, you know, the Bible's really clear. God is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just thinking through that, like, God, you are faithful. You are good. And you're not out to get me. There's times where it says that he disciplines those he loves, but he's only disciplining because he's not out to get me. He's trying to steer me. He's trying to walk me into that. I was thinking about that. It's God who saves me. He's the one, not just in salvation, like on the cross, our forgiveness of our sins, but he saves us. He's a place of refuge. He's a place of, in those hard seasons of life, we run to him and he says he'll be that refuge for us. You know, God is with me, and the scriptures are clear on that. And so those are just a couple of them. God is in control. Psalms talks about this. And God reigns over the nation. He sits on his holy throne. God is in control. God forgives me. When I screw up, he forgives me. If I come and he confess my sins, he will cleanse me. the Bible says. And then God will keep me.
Mm-hmm.
For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor heights nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I started to go, man, that those are the things that I want to know. Those are the things I want to preach to my heart in the midst of whatever that may be, the fight with my wife or whatever. Like, God, there's times where I'm wrong in those things and I need to confess, but there's also, God is still with me. He's mm-hmm. still there, and the Lord is there. And just preaching that he's not against me. The world in which we live is there, and we're here, and we have to live in the struggles, and but God's there with us.
Yeah, that makes me think of the passage, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you bring that discipline point up, you go there, and that's a really good thing to point out. Like, we make decisions, you know, and there are consequences for those decisions. Sometimes there's natural ones, and sometimes there's spiritual ones. And if we're experiencing or feel like we're suffering through some of those things, you got to do a little bit of a reality check. You know, the world is a rough place to be. And it can be one of those things where we wallow in our sorrow, or, you know, you do some just reality check. And yeah. Where's my heart at? Where's my God at? And his love is unfailing, and he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And the discipline that he has is for our good. And so you start to speak those things, those truths in your life. It changes your mindset, but it's got to come from your heart.
Right. Yeah, you start believing those things, that God is for you, that God is with you, that God is in control, mm-hmm. and releasing those things that you can't control back to him, which is part of that recovery process, yeah. is really going, these are the things I can control, these are the things I can't control, and those things I can't control, they're not mine to hold on to, but they're yours, God. All of those who are tired and weary and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest, is what the Bible says. And he wants that for us. And that for me in that moment was just, it was pretty crazy. Like, just to think, like, oh, he's saying, what are you preaching? And there were some really great things, and I won't share because I can't, what they shared about what they do in those moments. But they were always preaching to their heart. Mm. It was how do they recenter, go through some of the emotions that they're going through, and some of them were just so good and so brilliant. But it was always preaching to your heart. How do you preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to your heart on a daily basis?
Yeah, that makes me think of Nehemiah from back in the Old Testament. Lamentations is a book about lamenting.
Yeah,
and that dude had a lot of I think kind of self talk that we get a little bit of a privy advantage to see him having some of those conversations. But like, Israel's been destroyed, the people are a mess, the town's in rubble, and he's having these conversations where he's sharing his heart with the Lord about this struggle that he's in. But in the end of that, he always comes back, and I think it's, I'm looking at my notes here, Lamentations 3, he said to my, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. And so he's struggling through all this stuff. He's got chaos around him. He's got every reason to be upset and be in that negative headspace, heart space, because it's negativity around him. But he's waiting on God. He's trusting on the Lord that he is good and he's going to be his portion.
Yeah. Yeah. Words are just a powerful thing. And they're powerful not only to others, but they're powerful to us. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the hardest things is to really control that self-talk that goes on. From the fruit of man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. And there's life in what we say to each other, but there's also life in what we say to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Mark Twain talked about this, and he talked about words and the difference between the right word and the almost right word. He said this. He said, "Is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug?" And I thought that's just a brilliant way to say that. Like, yeah, you can just be a little bit off in what you're saying to yourself or to somebody else, and it's like a lightning bolt. It's triggering you. It's bringing up emotions, and it's actually somewhat not true. And then there's these other moments where it's just this little lightning bolt or lightning bug, and it's harmless. It's powerless. It's momentary, I guess. It's on and then it's off. And it's kind of part of a cool part of the summer night. It's just so small. But the right words that we speak to us and speak to each other are really important. And I think the other thing for me, again, as we kind of close this time down of pearls and swine, is that words can bring joy and they can bring life to us. And if you're in a place where you're just struggling right now, begin to say, you know, God is for me. God mm-hmm. loves me. God cares about me. Preach the good news to yourself, and I think it'll change your day.
And that is good news we can all use. Thanks for hanging out with us this week. If you'd like to catch up on any of our previous Pearls and Swine episodes, you can search those out, Evangel Houghton, on your podcast-enabled device. You can go to evangelup.org and find those there on our webpage as well. And if you've got any questions or topics that you'd like us to have a conversation about, shoot those over to me, Travis, at evangelup.org.